Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. O Lord, help us to understand your word, to take it to heart, to rest solely in what you have done for us, and then to live out the life that you've given. Lord, as we look at this passage, touch our hearts. Enlighten our minds. Help us to see truly what your words say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Confidence. You know, it's a good thing to have confidence. Not to be overconfident, but to have confidence. In fact, there's a internet site called Mind Tools that talks about what you need in order to have confidence to get a job. It talks about a number of different things on the site. But one of the things they talk about is being confident so that you can go in and you can get a job. The first thing they say is, to build confidence, you need to look at what you've already achieved. That might be a good thing. But I would turn to something else. Our confidence isn't in what we've already achieved. Our confidence is in what Jesus Christ has achieved for us. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by what you have done. No, he doesn't say that. We have confidence to enter the holy places because of what Jesus has done for us. By the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, then let us. Our confidence rests solely in what Jesus Christ has done for us. But there should be a result there. And that's the rest of this sermon, and it's fairly easy to see the outline in this sermon if you think of eating like a rabbit. Lettuce, lettuce, lettuce. Or let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider. Let us draw near. Now, the beginning of this passage sounds pretty similar. It should sound pretty similar. We are to draw near. Let us draw near. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for us in dying on the cross for our sins, in shedding his blood for our sins, in giving the sacrifice that we need to come into the presence of God. Let us draw near. Now, in chapter 4, he added another thing, and you'll see, I'm going to read a little bit from chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. These same ideas are there. And he adds one other thing that we've talked about before. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. this great high priest who has shed his blood for us. He has suffered through life just like we do. He has gone through this life, suffered through the many temptations that we face in this life, and yet he did it without sin, and that's why he could go to the cross and take our place. So let us draw near. Draw near with a true heart. Now, this isn't the word unhypocritical, although it's sort of contained in this word. It's a true heart. It's one that is real to the core. It's genuine. Draw near to God with a heart that's been changed. With a heart that's devoted to Him. With a true heart, a genuine heart. A heart that is given over to faith in that one who has saved you. Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Faith, what we believe in, but more than that, what we trust in. It's not just something that we think about, it's something that we know, that we trust in. It deals with our mind, with our heart, with our soul, in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Christ's sacrifice has accomplished these things for us. Is there an allusion here to baptism? Possibly. But I think more importantly, as we look at the idea of that the writer of Hebrews is trying to bring out, is that all of the cleansing rites of the Old Testament, all of those symbols that were pointing to what Christ would do, they have been fulfilled. They have been accomplished in Christ. And when we sing from Psalm 51 about being sprinkled, about being cleansed, we're cleansed because of what Jesus has done for us in shedding His blood for us on the cross. It's what Jesus has accomplished for us. This is good news. This is the gospel. Jesus has taken our place. Believe it. Have faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you. And draw near. So let us draw near with full assurance of faith. And then, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast. Those who believe in what Jesus Christ has done will persevere. They will hold fast. They will hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Now, what's this idea of holding fast? Well, if you've ever seen a wrestling match, what happens in a wrestling match? The two people are sparring, they're trying to get the other person down on the mat. And I watched a video of a couple of our folks doing this wrestling match, and they're pretty good at it. They're trying to get the other person down and then to hold them down long enough until the referee says, slaps his hand against the mat and says that they're pinned. And then they've won. This is the idea. Hold fast! As you're living your life out in Christ, you have faith in what Jesus Christ has done. Hold fast to the confession of your hope without wavering. Hold on to it. Without wavering. We have a neighbor in back of us that came over one day, he came over and then talked to me across the fence one day too, and he was a little worried about Scott's pine out back, because in a storm he saw it going like this. And it's a pretty tall tree, and so of course it's going to go like this. I looked at the tree and it looks pretty solid. Looks like it has pretty good root system and things, and the trunk looks okay. I don't think we have too much to worry about. But he saw it leaning. That's the idea here about the wavering. Hold fast to the confession of your hope without wavering, without leaning, without being tossed to and fro. He came over later and said, you know, it's sort of leaning one towards your direction, so it's either going to fall on the church or on your shed, so I'm not worried anymore. So he's okay, so we're all right. Hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, without leaning. Leaning sometimes to the breaking point. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. I'd like to read those verses there. Talks about it in the context of the church and the gifts that God has given to those within the church, that the saints might be equipped. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave the apostles and prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So what's part of not wavering, not leaning? Part of it is by being here, reading God's Word, by working with one another in terms of taking that Word and applying it to our lives. Understanding what God has given us and using the gifts that He's given us so that we all work together and are built up so that we become more and more like Jesus Christ, that one who gave Himself for us. So how do we hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering? We do it through the teaching, through the learning, through the training, by using the gifts, by working out the ministry that God is equipping us to do. By being equipped, by becoming more like Christ. Is it all of us? What's the writer of Hebrews say? How do we do this? By trusting in that God who is faithful. For God is faithful. The one who saved us. The one who sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. The one who has cleansed us. The one who is now working in us. The one who has given us a hope. God is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So, we have draw near. Let us draw near. That's the first one. Let us draw near, having faith in the one who made the sacrifice that was necessary for us to have entrance into heaven. For us to have entrance into the kingdom of God, both here on earth and in heaven. We are to let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, trusting in that God who is faithful. Let's see, faith, draw near, having faith. Hold fast the confession of your hope. Guess what comes next? Let us consider. Verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Faith, hope, love. We are to consider how we are to stir one another up. Okay, to consider it, to perceive, to use our minds fully, to think about the people around us, to think about the things that we see around us, to consider fully exercising our mind, having our mind and our eyes open to the things that are around us, consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. Stir up. This one's interesting. Because it's usually the NASB has stimulate. I think another version has provoke. Well, the word comes from taking a pointed object and poking it. Is that pleasant? Someone takes a pointed object and pokes you. Is it pleasant? Well, not necessarily. Now, the word can be used both in provoking love and good deeds or provoking, inciting something like a riot, okay? Something bad. But here the writer says, stir one another up, poke one another, to get out there and show love and do good deeds. Stir up one another, provoke one another, incite one another, poke one another with a stick. We were out talking at Stephen and Terry's the other night, and Stephen had put Savannah's collar on, and so she'd stay in the yard, and we were on the other side of the street, and so she comes running out, and all of a sudden you hear a yip! She was being provoked. She was being stirred up, but prodded to do the right thing. And now, when my dogs crossed over that invisible fence barrier, they always stayed outside until I got home and could take the collar off, and then they'd come back in. But Savannah just turned around. She knew what she needed to do, ran back in to hear another yip, and she's back in the yard. She didn't go out again. It's prodding to do the right thing, prodding one another to love and good deeds. How do we do this? Well, I thought about pointing out the things that I've seen in this church over the last year. Just saying, look at what Devin did, or look at what Lydia did, or, you know, something like that. But I said, no, when we do things, these love and good deeds, we're doing things to honor our God. We're not doing these so men will see what we're doing. Our treasure is being stored up in heaven if we're actually doing these things. So I'll just list off a few things that I've seen. Shared meals, both for those within the church and those outside. Open homes for Bible studies or just getting together for fellowship. Consideration of the needy, doing hats and mittens or caring for the needy in some other way. Inviting others out for lunch just for a time of encouragement. Being called alongside to help a friend who suffered through some of the tragedies that we face in this life. Sharing scripture with one another. Meals provided for the sick. The RP Moving Company. And others. Think about, how have you been poked, prodded to love and good deeds? How have you poked and prodded others to love and good deeds? Sometimes it's with a word, sometimes it's by an example. But we need to be doing it. Stir up one another to love and good deeds. And he goes on, not neglecting meeting together, is this a habit of some, but encouraging one another. Not neglecting meeting together. Why do we meet? Why are we here today? Well, part of it is to draw near to God, trusting in what He has done. By faith we come, we can come into the presence of God, we can draw near to Him. So part of it is to draw near. And we sing His praises, and we're thankful for the things that He has given us. So that's one of the reasons that we come together, that we meet together. Part of it is to make sure that we're standing upright. We're holding fast to the faith without wavering, to the hope that we have without wavering. So part of it's that second part, learning more about our God and learning more about His ways so that we can stand before our God, we can persevere through the things of this life, and we can trust in that hope that we have set before us. So that's another part of why we get together. But don't leave out the last part either. The meeting together is given in the midst of this last part. Considering how we might stir one another up to love and good deeds. We fail our God if we neglect this part as we meet together. If all we do is learn more about God and it has no result in our lives in showing the love and good deeds that He's called us to do, then we've got a problem. We don't meet to earn brownie points or to check off something that we've accomplished through the week so that we, just take care of that 1 hour a week that we give over to God. We meet so that we can be conformed to the image of Christ and so that we can be stirred up to go out and do the works that He's called us to do, the love and good deeds that He has given us to do. We meet so that we can be His people and see how we can shine His light in the world around us. We meet so we can be a part of His flock, not just to take things in, but also to give as the Lord has gifted us, to be a part of the people of God who are working it together to grow up into the image of Jesus Christ, that one who has saved us. And we do that all the more as we see the day drawing near. All the more. The writer sees an urgency of living out our life in Christ. All the more as you see the day approaching, as you see the day drawing near. What day? Well, he's talking about the day of judgment. He's talking about that final consummation of what Christ has done as He comes back and He calls His people to Himself and He judges us. How will we be judged? Well, the three words that are here, faith, hope, and love, is a good measure of how we're going to be judged. Do we have a faith that comes from a true heart that's been given over to God? That is the crucial point. Trusting in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Are we persevering with that hope, holding fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, learning more about Him and being conformed to His image? And are we showing, are we overflowing with the love that He has given to us? Paul says, we have these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Shouldn't it be faith? If we have faith, shouldn't that be it? Because that's our entrance into heaven. We draw near to God because of what Jesus Christ has done, because of our faith in His sacrifice for us. So shouldn't that be the most important thing? Well, if you say you have faith, but don't show the love that God has given you, you don't really have faith. These three abide, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, because it's that test of whether or not you truly have faith. Whether or not you truly have hope in the things that God has done and the place that He is preparing for you. It's the ultimate test. If you're learning and being equipped so as to have the hope that does not waver, love will be a result of that. When Jesus spoke at the day that's approaching, Matthew 25, He said these words, When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, My brothers, you did it to Me." Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome Me. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit Me." Then they will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." All the more, as you see the day drawing near, God is calling us to faith. Let us draw near to our God. Come into His presence with a true faith, a genuine faith, with a heart that's been turned over to Him. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Trust in that One who has given you life and grow in Him, being conformed to the image of God's Son. And let us consider how to stir up one another, how to stimulate one another, how to prod one another to love and good deeds. Because it's just an outworking of the love that God has poured out to us. Trust in His grace. Show that grace to those around you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, Your word is so powerful. We are amazed at what You have done for us. How You have given Yourself for us. Help us to be a people who have that true faith, who keep in mind that hope, and who love both each other and those outside, so that we can be lights to this world. We can show what You have given to us by Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.